All right. So welcome to the first of two shiurim on the geography of Shemitah. God willing, this Friday and then next Thursday. Note that we don't have Beis Medrash on Friday, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the Thursday Chabura will be bumped back to Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. And shiur for next week, what is normally Friday shiur, ends up being Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Don't worry, Rabbi Yaris. God willing, the internet at Clanton Park will be up to date, and we'll be able to hold a shiur in one space and have Seder Boker in another space, and we'll all be good. Okay. So
everything is good.
Good. So the plan is that this week and next week, we're going to talk about where Shemitah applies. And then Rav Sammy is going to deal with Shemitah rabbinically, biblically, in our day. And that will wrap up more or less, I think, the major topics we wanted to hit at the start of the year so that we can then go more through the Yerushalmi in order with the Shirim starting in Chorev Zman. So what I want to be able to do at this point is to address the following questions. Number one, how was land consecrated as Israel in the first place, what we call Kedusha Rishona, the initial sanctity? Number two, what was the status of that land after we were exiled to Babel? Then when Cyrus the Persian sends us back to Israel, what is the status of the land that we settled with what's called Kedusha Shnia? And what was the status of the land that we did not settle, whether it was because we just didn't control it, or whether it was because it was actually set aside intentionally, some of which I believe Rabbi Metzger discussed yesterday in his Chabura for Thursday. And then what happens after we do that, the logical next step is what Rav Sammy will do, which is, so what happens after the Jews are then exiled from that by the Romans? Where does that Kedusha go? So that will be, God willing, in 2 weeks. What I'll be doing next week, I hope, will be the boundaries of Israel, in terms of, well, you'll see, how do we calculate where Israel is at all following the boundaries in Matos Masei? There will be some maps involved. I apologize to those who are mapophobic or cartophobic, I suppose is the proper term. Nonetheless, we'll deal. So if everyone has the source sheets, the initial Kedusha, the initial sanctification of the land of Israel comes from the Ole Mitzrayim. And regarding Shemitah, I brought you the first source on the sheet. Daberel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alehem ki savo'u el ha'aretz asher ani nosein lochem v'shavsa ha'aretz shabas l'shem. Hashem says to Moshe, tell those Jews, when you enter the land that I am giving you, that's when the land halts, meaning when you cross the Yarden. And I noted this in the overview, that this is specifically when we cross the Yarden. I actually brought you here on the sheet. I brought them out of order. I'm not sure why I did it that way. Nonetheless, first I'll note what I brought you on the sheet in source Beis, and then what I brought in source Gimel. In source Beis, you get the Gemara in Erchin, which says we connect the Jews' entry into Israel under Ezra, which is not really under Ezra. You know, Ezra wasn't actually there. Nonetheless, the entry of the Jews for the second Beis HaMikdash is linked to the entry of the Jews under Yehoshua. Ma bi asam bi me Yehoshua manu shmitin v'yovlos, ... Just like when they entered under Yehoshua, that was when they started to count Shemitah and Yovel. So too, when they entered under Ezra, they started to do it. I see that Rav Chaim has noted in the chat that he can't find the sheet. I don't want to stop giving the shiur right now in order to post it. So could somebody just send it to him, please? Thank you. That would be great. The Gemara in Erechin says, your count of the Shemitah years begin then. In other words, had I looked at the Pasuk alone, I would have said, oh, I guess Shemitah starts the year you enter. It's not so. It's the count that starts when you enter. And as I noted in the overview, now you see the Sifra and Behar in source Gimel. This is specifically when you cross the Yarden, not when you enter the land east of the Yarden, even though Reuven, Gad, and part of Menashe end up settling in the land. It says, Ki Savau, the Sifra says, Yachon Bishabo le'Ever HaYarden. I might think even when they arrived in Ever HaYarden, east of the Yarden, no, it says, El Ha'aretz, Eretz HaMiyuchades, the special designated land. And then it says, Yachon Bishabo la'Amon u'Moav. I might think when they arrived in Amon and Moav, that's when it would be. We have to talk about what this line means. No, it's land I give you, not the land I give to Ammon and Moab. Now here I'm going to digress for a little bit, because there's a topic that is incredibly confusing, and I see the opportunity to try to clarify what exactly we mean when we talk about Eved HaYarden, which will have ramifications for other issues in Shemitah, and therefore I think it's worth it to take the digression now and clarify it. It will apply for issues of Biur, for example, when it comes to eliminating the produce of Shemitah at the end of the Shemitah year. So here's the thing. We generally treat Eved HaYarden as part of Israel, even though there are sources that indicate that it is not actually part of Israel. So for example, if you take a look at source Gimel, a Sifri, we are told here, this is a Sifri on Parshas Kisava regarding Bikurim, the land that Hashem has promised to give us, lases lanu to give us, Rabbi Shimon Omer prat le'ever hayarden, shenatalto me'atzmacha. Rabbi Shimon says, the land that Hashem pledged to give you doesn't mean the land east of the Yarden. That land you took on your own. I should note, Ramban, in Bamidbar Chaf Aleph says, it means Hashem didn't expect to give it to you yet. Hashem was going to ultimately give it to you. Nonetheless, Nishbata Laboseinu, Lases Lanu, you swore to our ancestors to give to us, doesn't include Eved HaYarden. Further, we find this in the Rambam. If you take a look at source Hey, this is a halacha in the Rambam that is going to befuddle us for quite a bit of time today. Take a look at what the Rambam writes there. If Sammy, thank you for posting the sheet in the chat. So the Rambam writes, Eved HaYarden shvius noheges bami divrehem. The Rambam writes that in Eved HaYarden, Shemitah applies rabbinically. Sfiche Surya, I'm not going into Surya in our conversation today. The Eved HaYarden mutarin ba'achila, you're allowed to eat the sfichen, the wild growths that are found in the east of the Yarden. And then the Rambam writes something perplexing. In explaining why Eved HaYarden has Shemitah rabbinically and you're allowed to eat Sfichin, he says, Lo yihyu aratzos elu chamurin me'eretz Yisrael shachziku ba'olei Mitzrayim, because this land should not be any more severe, any more strict than the lands that the Jews took when they came out of Egypt and then they didn't retake when they came out from Bavel / Persia. So the Rambam is explaining why Sfichin are mutter in Eved HaYarden, saying, well, you can't be any stricter than land in Israel that's taken by Olei Mitzrayim. So the Ravid says, I don't know what you're talking about. Why don't you just say, because those Jews who came back from Bavel didn't take the land east of the Yarden. Why wasn't that your answer? And the Radbaz gives a couple of answers, which we can discuss another time. They're very interesting. But the Ma'ari Kurkus on this, and I brought it for you in source Vav, says, I'll tell you why. I would have thunk that we should be strict in Eved HaYarden, lest people take Shemitah lightly there and work the land. And I bolded it, because they are not part of Iker Eretz Yisrael. So you get this perspective that east of the Yarden is somehow not Israel. Nonetheless, from a halachic perspective, from a pure halachic perspective, it is part of Israel. And the best evidence of that is the Gemara brought you in source Zion. One of the things that Rabbi Bergman is going to discuss in 2 weeks is the standard for when Shemitah is in place or is not in place, which is Kol Yoshveha Aleha. All of her residents have to live there. All of Israel's residents have to live there in order for us to be obligated in Yovel and therefore in Shemitah. And he's going to discuss that and talk about all the questions of what exactly that means. However, what I wanted to note for you is what the Gemara here says in Sor Zion, Desanya, Mishagalu Shevet Reuven V'Shevet Gad V'Chati Shevet HaMenashe Batlu Yovlos. Yovel stops when Reuven, Gad, and Menashe are exiled from Eved HaYarden. They're the first ones to go. They're the canary. Shenamer, as the pasuk says, Ukrasemdra Bartz Khal Yoshveha, Bizman Shakal Yoshveha Aleha, .. Point being, if you didn't consider Eved HaYarden part of Israel, why would the exile of Reuven, Gad, and Menashe trigger, we've lost Kol Yosheveha Aleha. It wouldn't be Aleha anyway. They're not in Israel anyway. Answer is, it's clear that from a pure halachic perspective, we consider it to be part of Israel, and that's the way poskim tend to approach it. Although, worth noting, if you look in Yechaveh Das, Beis Yid Aleph, he has a tshuva about soldiers serving in the Sinai, the Suez, and the Golan. And when they say V'sein Talu Matar, and do you consider it Chutz La'aretz, and he lumps together the Sinai, the Suez, and the Golan. So you're including area, the Golan, along with the Sinai and the Suez. Golan meaning, you know, east of the Yarden. That Hagolan Babashan. So that's something that that is worth considering. I gave you the reference to the Chavadas in source class.
So a practical question for Shemitah or other mitzvahs that are dependent upon Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
Is Jordan. Do we do this in Jordan if we visit Jordan?
No, that is part of next week's shiur, God willing.
Okay.
Although it's going to fit into what we're about to say right now. So that is indeed one of the questions that you have to ask. I will note, and this actually will also somewhat address Jeffrey's question about Jordan, Eiver HaYarden itself is varied. And this is why I went into this tangent, is because of the question of what exactly Eiver HaYarden are. And I refer you back to source Gimel, in which you saw a distinction between Eiver HaYarden, Yachol Mishabol Eiver HaYarden, and Yachol Mishabol Amon Umoav, the areas of Amon Umoav. What exactly is that about? So remember what happens in Sefer Bamidbar. The Jews come up from the Midbar to enter Israel. They're heading north, right? I told you, Rav Sammy, there'll be no maps. So here we go. One hand is the Yarden. Okay, Israel's on this side. The Eiver HaYarden is on this side. I realize that they flip things on screens and whatever, so I don't know what you're looking at, but it doesn't really matter. The Yarden is here. North is up. They're coming up from the south, and what they want to do is go straight into Israel here. This is the land of Edom. Edom says, you're not going through. So they go further north, Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab say, you're not going through. Hashem says, don't start any wars with them. And we go further north until we're parallel to Sichon. And at that point, Sichon says, you're not going through. And the Jews say, ha, fair game. And they fight with Sichon and Og, conquer that area. And ultimately under Yoshua, they cross into Israel there. So from south to north, it's Edom, Ammon and Moab, Sichon and Og. Clear? That's what you have to envision here. I need to take my hands down because I need to use them for other things now, but hopefully that will still work. I have no doubt that on the video on YouTube, that will be the, whatchamacallit, the thumbnail that they choose. Okay. So that's where things are. And in practice, when the land is actually distributed under Yehoshua, going from south to north, the most southern part that we take will be Reuven. The part above that will be Gad. And the part above that will be Menashe. Okay, that's the way that it actually works. Now, it seems that the land that Reuven, Gad, and Menashe got from Sichon is in the northern and central part of Eiver HaYarden. The key border to know is a river, or really a wadi, called Nachal Arnon. Nachal Arnon extends, if you can envision in your head, the Yarden. So at the bottom, you've got Yam HaMelach. So Nachal Arnon, exactly, extends east from the midpoint of, or what at different times in history has been the midpoint of, Yam HaMelach. It depends a little bit on the expansion and reduction of Yam HaMelach, which I hope to discuss next week. But that's the idea. So that I brought you Psukim in Source Yud and Source Yud Aleph, which talk about Nachal Arnon as the southern border of Sichon and the northern border of Ammon. Right? Again, you're going south to north. The bottom, you've got Edom. Then you've got Ammon and Moab. And then you've got Sichon. So the boundary between Sichon on the north and Ammon in the south is Nachal Arnon. This is also known, not just based on these psukim, but also because one of the methods of determining I don't need to get that abstract with it. The Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge that were in Israel, the three that you had there, were parallel in terms of their latitude with the Arei Miklat east of the Yarden, right? That whole thing about the land being Mishulash, which we'll have to talk about next week. So in other words, you have two northern Arei Miklat, two central Arei Miklat, and two southern Arei Miklat that are parallel with each other. So the southernmost Ir Miklat in Israel is Hebron, which is about one third of the way down Yam HaMelech. So the so that also works in terms of figuring out the what is where in terms of Sichon and the Ir Miklat that was farthest south on the eastern side of the Yarden. I realize we didn't need that tangent. In any case, the bottom line is that Nachal Arnon is supposed to be above Ammon and Moab. And so I would have said, Hashem said, don't take Ammon and Moab. So therefore, the only land that becomes Israel on the eastern side of the Yarden is Nachal Arnon and north. Is that a safe assumption based on what we've said? Israel starts east of the Yarden at Nachal Arnon? Okay, the problem is that that can't be true. And the reason why it can't be true is Source Yud Aleph. Source Yud Aleph tells us, I'm looking at the part that I bolded, it's talking about the war with Sichon. And it says, Ki cheshbon ir Sichon melech ha'emori hi, cheshbon was the city of Sichon, v'hu nilcham b'melech Moav harishon, he had fought the earlier king of Moav, v'yikach es kol artzo miyado ad Arnon, and he took land from Ammon in Moav up to Arnon, so that some of Sichon's land was actually originally Ammon and Moav land. And the Medrash says, Rashi quotes it there on the Pasuk, Ammon u'Moav tiharu b'Sichon. Ammon and Moab's land was purified when it was conquered by Sichon, meaning even though we weren't allowed to take Ammon and Moab, we're allowed to take ex-Ammon u'Moav. That land that Sichon is now holding is fair game. That's the idea. So the question you have to ask is, where is this land that was originally Ammon and Moab and then became Sichon? Is that land north of Nachal Arnon or is it south of Nachal Arnon? We know we didn't take Ammon and Moab. Where is this land that we're talking about? From the Psukim itself, I would have assumed it's in the Sichon territory north of Nachal Arnon. I would have assumed that Ammon and Moab originally extended north of it. The problem is a Mishnah in Yodayim. And you also saw this in Chagiga Gimel Amud Beis, but it's always better to bring a Mishnah when you have to choose between where you're going to bring this from. So the Mishnah in Yadayim is in Source Yud Beis. And here you find a discussion about the status of Ammon and Moab during Shemitah. And the Mishnah says, Bo bayom omru Ammon u'Moav mahin b'shvias. This is the day when Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah is appointed Rosh Hashiva in place of Rabban Gamliel. So they asked, what's the status of Ammon and Moab during Shemitah? And Gazer Rabbi Tarfon Meiser Ani. The Gazer Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Meiser Sheni. Rabbi Tarfon says you should separate Meiser Ani. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says you should separate Meiser Sheni. There's a whole war back and forth. And do I compare it to Mitzrayim? And do I compare it to Bavel? What should be the rule? And the part that I wanted to make sure you saw is the part that's on the next sheet towards the end that I bolded. They say, when you make a comparison between Ammon and Moab territory and Mitzrayim, or you want to compare it to Bavel, he says, Hanidon Shalafanenu, the case of Ammon and Moab is Maaseh Chadash, is a brand new issue. It wasn't there before. Meaning, the Mishnah seems to say, Ammon and Moab have no Kedusha at all. So, which Ammon and Moab is this? Is it's talking about the Ammon and Moab that we conquered from Sichon in the central part of Eber HaYarden above Nachal Arnon? Is this talking about the land of Ammon and Moab that we left alone in the south? If it's the area that's further north, are you telling me there's no Kedusha Shvius in this area north of Nachal Arnon? Right? Go back to Jeffrey's question. What's the rule in Jordan? So, there are, of course, multiple approaches to this. I'm going to try to keep this as simple as possible and just bring three approaches, one from Rashi and two from Tosfos, even though there are three more answers found in the Chazon Ish. Nonetheless, we're going to stick with these three approaches. Rashi and Chagiga, and you take a look at Source Yud Gimel, you'll see I gave you a little table of the three approaches. But the first approach is Rashi in the Gemara there in Chagiga. And Rashi writes in Source Yud Daled, Nimnu v'gamru, v'hiskinu shu Yisrael hadarin be'ever hayarden b'meshekavshu misichon v'og eretz amonu moav. Rashi says what we're talking about is the land we took from Sichon. In other words, north of Nachal Arnon, not the southern Amonu Moav at all. So there is no Kedusha Shvius in this land that is north of Nachal Arnon. Are we clear on that? I really should have asked you first what you thought the resolution was going to be and how this should work, but I didn't. I apologize. Or Sammy, you were going to say?
Now why?
Why what?
Why isn't there Kedusha Shvius?
So that's exactly what we have to ask. What in the world happened? We settled it. We took it. We're Olei Mitzrayim. Why shouldn't there be Kedusha there? That's a major problem. It's not the only problem, though. Okay, before we get to that, to the why question, although, yes, why, take a look at Source Tesvav. It's a Mishnah in Shvius. It's in Perek Vav. It's Mishnah Aleph. I even put it on the Maor Makomos, in which we are told, Shalosh Aratzos L'Shvius. There are three different areas for Shemitah. The land taken by the Ole Bavel. I'm not saying what Eretz Yisrael to Kaziv are. They're just places. That was yesterday's Chabur, I assume. So the rule there is Lo Ne'echal, which I'm not going to translate right now because that's a machlokas we have to get back to. Lo Ne'evad is very clear. You don't work it during Shemitah. That's the land that they took when they came from Egypt and again when they came from Bavel. And then, that which was taken only by the Jews the first time round, coming out of Egypt, from Kiziv to the Nahar, at Amana, Ne'echal, Avalo Ne'evad. So, Ne'echal, and again, we have to explain what that means, but you're not allowed to work it during Shemitah. And then you have this third area where we say Ne'echal v'Ne'evad. So here is my problem. The land taken by the Olei Mitzrayim is not supposed to be worked. Olei Mitzrayim settled the land of Sichon. So why in the world would you be allowed to do Avodah there? Why would it not have Kedusha? What is Rashi talking about? It doesn't seem to make any sense. So that's one problem. Second problem, an explicit Mishnah in the ninth Perek. Take a look at Source Tezayin. Shalosh Aratzos Lebiur. When you deal with bi'ur, where we say that at the end of the season, you're supposed to get rid of, in some way, the Shemitah produce that is now out of season, we say there are three different regions, Yehuda, Eiver HaYarden, and Galil. Well, I don't understand. Eiver HaYarden is this is on the list for bi'ur. If you're telling me the land we got from Sichon doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, why are we doing bi'ur? What are you eliminating? It doesn't make any sense. How does that work? Sotosos asks that question. You could suggest that maybe Biur applies still in land taken by Olei Mitzrayim and not Olei Bavel. You could suggest that Biur applies there. And I think I brought you, no, I didn't, the Rambam and the Parish of Mishnayos to support that idea. You actually could do that. But this... Everybody else, I mean, the Rosh is going to be apoplectic. Like, what did you think you were doing here? So, Tosfos offers you two other approaches. First approach, when Yadayim talks about Eiver Hayarden, Yadayim / Chagiga, that it has no Kedusha, it's talking about the southern Amonu Moav. What you took from Sichon north of Nachal Arnon has Kedusha Shvius. South of Nachal Arnon does not have Kedusha Shvius. All right, that's the easy answer, no? That's what you have in Source Yud Zayin, V'tiret Rebbeinu Tam, D'yesh L'chalek, D'hacha Ba'amun Moav, D'lokav Shu Sichon Ba'og. That's Amun Moav that Sichon no did not take. V'loniskachu Klab, B'kedusha Sa'aretz, which is what I would have been a lot happier with. The problem with that is an objection by the Mishnah Lamelech, where he says, if that were true, then why is it that the Rambam said, if you go back to Perek Dalet Halacha Chaf Ches, which I brought you in Source Vav, when the Rambam describes the application of Shemitah in Eiver HaYarden, he doesn't make any distinction between north and south. If you're really telling me there's a northern part of Eiver HaYarden which has Kedusha, and a southern part that does not, you have a problem. The Rambam should have said so. So that's the Mishnah Lamelech's objection. Tosus's other suggestion, found on the last line of Source Yud Zayin, Va'od Metareitz Delo Kidsha Eiver HaYarden Rak Le'eretz Sichon Mamash, Avo Masha Kavash Me'amon Lo Nisgadsha. The answer is not going to satisfy the Mishnah Lamelech, and Amari Kurka says that's absurd. But the idea is that when we conquered Sichon, the parts of Sichon that had once been Amon and Moab didn't gain Kedusha Shvius. Only the parts of Sichon that were always Sichon. So when we say Amon and Moab Tiaru B'Sichon, it allowed conquest. It didn't create Kedusha. That's the idea. For those who want more about this, take a look at the Chazon Ish on Shvius Gimel Chaf Dalid. You can also see the Birkei Yosef Arachayim Tuf Pei Tes. But that's the situation. That's the Eiver HaYarden. And what I want you to come away with is the understanding, because it's going to be relevant for Bior especially, that there is Eiver HaYarden that has Kedusha Shvius, and it seems like there's Eiver HaYarden that does not have Kedusha Shvius. And it's going to be a machlokas as to where these different areas are. However you slice it. Yeah, Rav Sam, are you going to say?
Just the Ara. If you take the Rambam's like method of creating Kedusha, like of Kivush,
yeah,
doesn't this become even more harder to sustain? I mean, like, yeah, they conquered it.
Yeah.
So like, why wouldn't it be holy?
Why wouldn't it?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to say that there was never supposed to be part of Eretz Yisrael, then you have a whole discussion about the status of lands which we took before taking Eretz Yisrael proper. And
right.
Of it in Surya and that whole discussion.
I'm still
right. Maybe that. However you slice it, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Trumos, I brought it for you in Source Yud Ches, it's also in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that because this Kedusha comes about via conquest, therefore when we get conquered, the Kedusha is gone. Kedusha Rishona disappears. So that moves us to our next category, which is lands conquered by Ole Mitzrayim and by Ole Bavel. So everybody's clear, we had initial Kedusha, that's when you start your count of the Shemitah years, when you cross over the Yarden, not when you enter Eiver HaYarden. Eiver HaYarden, some areas of it are conquered, Sichon specifically, and Amon Moav, which becomes Sichon, but it's unclear where there is Kedusha and where there is not Kedusha. Okay, so lands conquered when we came out of Mitzrayim, and then again, when we came back from Bavel, really the word conquered is a misnomer, because it's not actually conquered at that stage. It's more like the Persian said, these Jews are coming back and please don't mess with them, because if you do, you're going to be in trouble. They, nonetheless, to the extent that we can say we conquered them, they take a look at what the Rambam writes there in Source Yud Ches once again, in Hilchos Trumos Aleph Hey. Specifically in the latter part of it, the second line, Kevin Sha'alu Bnei Agola Vechziku B'miktas Ha'aretz, when the Jews came out of Galus and they took part of the land, Kidshua Kedusha Shnia Ha'omedes La'olam L'shaitu La'asid Lavo, they sanctified it in a way that remains forever. So that when Rasami has to discuss, is it Deraisa or Derabanan, it's not because the land has lost its Kedusha, it's because of the other conditions for triggering the laws of Shemitah. Question though, the Rambam writes, when they came out of the Gola and they took part of the land, so what happens to land conquered later in Bayesheni? What happens if the Chashmonaim conquered some land? So Rav Efrati wrote Gvulot Haaretz Leshvi'it, which is actually available on the Bar Ilan in the Kitvei Eight. And he notes the Kesef Mishnah's language. The Kesef Mishnah in Source Yud Tes, commenting on the Rambam in Shemitah V'Yoval Dalet Chav Ches, he says it's unclear where these lands are that were conquered. And he's talking about Eiver HaYarden and Surya as well. The part that I bolded is the key. Shahayu b'bayis sheni melachim takifim. You had mighty kings in the second base Hamikdash. Kamosha matzinu b'yanei hamelach shekavashi shimir. Like Yanei, who conquered 60 cities. In other words, the Kesef Mishnah believes that Kedusha Shnia applies to any land conquered any time in Bayis Sheni, not only to whatever they took when they came in originally under Sheshbatzar and Zerubbabel. That's the Kesef Mishnah's position. Rav Yaakov Emden in the Moruk Tzia has a kuntras on Geder Yishuv Eretz Yisrael where he says this as well. The Tfuos Haaretz disagrees. You can get Rabbi Yosef Schwartz's Tfuos Haaretz on Hebrew books. And he says, the part that I bolded in Source Chaf, V'davka ma shenichbosh bizman hahu, only that which was taken at that time. Avo ma shelo kavash Ezra b'nei doro, but that which Ezra and the people of his generation did not take? No, that's nishar b'chlal chutz la'aretz. That remains as chutz la'aretz. Rav Frati is apoplectic. He says, what are you talking about? That's going to exclude huge swaths of the country. And that's Rabbi Yosef Schwartz's point. If you read the whole piece there, you'll see that that's exactly his point. That would really change the whole Shemitah issue bizmanenu, if we just decided that all those areas are not even considered conquered by Ole Bavel. Okay. So there is Kedusha from the conquest by Ole Bavel leading to application of laws of Shemitah. But to what extent exactly? What are the rules for that? So the Mishnah in Shvius, which we already saw, told us whatever the Ole Bavel took is lo ne'echal v'lo ne'evad. It is not eaten and it is not worked. So the Rambam explains what that means when you say lo ne'echal, both in his commentary to the Mishnah in the sixth parak and in what I brought you in Sras Chaf Aleph. No work, lo ne'evad, don't work it, and lo ne'echal means you're not allowed to eat svichin. You're not allowed to eat that which grows wildly. So what the Rambam is saying is, even rabbinic prohibitions of Shemitah apply. The Mishnah Lamelech comments there that it's because the Rambam applies full Kedusha to those lands. The Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon of Sanz, as well as the Bar Tanura, as well as the Ramban, disagree with the Rambam. They say that's not what we're talking about here. That's not what Lo Ne'echal means. The Rabbanans do not count. That's not what we're referring to here. What we're talking about instead is biur. If you take a look at Beis, lo ne'echal la'achar shvius below biur. It is not eaten without having done biur. Meaning, in a nutshell, there are two views. I said this in the overview shiur as well. There are two views of what biur is. One view is it's like biur chametz, destroy it. The other view is you make it hefker. And then you can reclaim it and people can eat it. So what the Rash is in the second camp, along with the Ramban. And he says, lo ne'echal means you have to do biur first. So what the Mishnah is telling you is, only de'oraisas are going to count there. That Mishnah is not dealing with derabanans of Svichin. So that's what applies in these lands. Machlokes, Rambam, Ramban, definitely no working the land in Shemitah. The biur will apply for sure, and the Rambam says the Mishnah is also telling me the Isser Svichin will apply there too. Okay, that brings us to land conquered by Ole Mitzrayim, not by Ole Bavel. So clearly, they don't have kedusha mideoraisa, right? Biblical kedusha is not there. Kedusha shnia is only the land that we took when we came back for the second Beis Hamikdash. Whatever kedusha they have, whatever laws are going to pertain, are all going to be midrabanan. So what did the Rabbanan create here? So the Mishnah in Shvius that we saw before, Paragvav Mishnah Aleph, said that the rule is ne'echal aval lo ne'evad. You eat it, however, you're not allowed to work it. So what exactly does that mean? So what we're going to see are two, I think, basic approaches. If I could turn the page in my notes, I had a third idea, but I think I left it at two. Oh, I see what I did. Okay, two basic approaches. Approach number one, all of the biblical rules apply in these lands, but not the Rabbanans. Approach number two is that not even all the biblical rules apply. So the first approach fits the Rambam. Right? That's what we saw. If you take a look back at source Chaf Aleph, V'chol shelo chziku bo ela ole Mitzrayim bilvad shumigziv, etc. even though you're not allowed to work it in Shemitah, you are allowed to eat the Sfichin in this land. The land taken only by Olei Mitzrayim, Sfichin or Mutter, there's no Gezerah here at all. The Mari Kurkus really likes that, because he points out that that fits the language in the Mishnah. Lo ne'echal velo ne'evad. He said the if ne'echal referred to stuff that people worked on, right? If people worked the land, you wouldn't be allowed to eat the product. Then it would have had to say lo ne'evad velo ne'echal. Don't work it. And if someone worked it, don't eat whatever it produces. Lo ne'echal velo ne'evad is because we're talking about something different. Lo ne'echal means the wild growths, and lo ne'evad is not to work it. Two separate things. So the Rambam's view is that the bulk of Israel, land that was taken by the Ole Mitzrayim and not by Ole Bavel, well, I don't want to say the bulk, that's assuming too much, but the land that was not taken when the Jews came out of Bavel and Persia, that land only has the De'oraisas, does not have the Gezerah De'Rabbanan of Svichin. Clear? Okay? All right. I'm trying on the one hand to rush and at the same time not to. So, you know, tell me if it's not clear. The second approach, though, as I said, is that when the rabbis instituted this, the rules of Shemitah for land that was not taken with Kedusha Shnia, for land that was not taken by Ole Bavel, they didn't apply all the Del-Raisas, so that the Rash, which we saw before, who interpreted Lo Ne'echal as being Lo Ne'echal without Biur, will say here that Biur, in fact, does not apply. There is no requirement of Biur. Ne'echal in these lands means at the end of the year, you do not need to eliminate the produce of Shemitah. Ramban explains the logic and makes clear that this is the only biblical law we are excluding. It's not like other biblical laws also will be excluded. Ramban believes that Biur is sort of the stepchild of Shemitah anyway. They take a look, please, at source Chaf Dalet. Ramban in Parshas Bahar. He says, Ve'ena Inyan, he's describing Biur. He's not in our conversation right now. He says, Ve'ena Inyan, sheyiyu haperos achar zman habiur asurin bahana'o ba'achila v'yemechuyav la'abdom. He says, we're not saying that the way Biur works is that you can't benefit from it, you have to get rid of it and all that. He says, it's not true. That's not the way Biur works. Jumping a line, ve'eno ela shutzarech levara merishuso. You just have to get it out of your property. Lahafkirim laniyam alachalada. Make it hefker, but people are allowed to eat them. So he says, Biur is not as strict as some of the other laws of Shemitah. And then he says, ve'efshur she'isra zemidivrayim hu. I have news for you. The whole thing may actually only be a derabanan. And he uses that to explain a Mishnah in Shvius, which we're not going to discuss right now. He says the whole thing is, it may even be a derabanan, and therefore, the end of the paragraph that I cited in Source Chav Dalet, hey kelu ba'achilo la'achar habir yorsim in ha'avoda. Therefore, they were more lenient with eating it after beer than they were regarding working the land, and that will apply to our discussion and say that's why Biur was not instituted for the lands that were not taken by the Ole Bavel. The Mari Kurkus thinks that the Ramban must be missing something. Mari Kurkus in Source Chav Hei says, I don't understand. He says, why were they strict and said, yeah, but you can't work there, but they allowed beer. He doesn't like that idea. And he says, in fact, it should be just the opposite because of the language of Lo Ne'evad, Velo Ne'echal. He's very hung up on that. The order of the language in the Mishnah. So Mari Kurkus does not like this idea at all. However, it fits with the Gra. The Gra in the Shnos Eliyo on Shvius. You can get the PDF on Hebrew Books. It's page 38 in the PDF. Says it that Lo Ne'echal, he's even more extreme than the Rash and the Ramban. He says Lo Ne'echal means you don't need to eat the produce with Kedushas Shvius. meaning they prohibited avoda. Rav Sammy is thinking, wait, how does this fit into my shir that I gave last week? About ownership and demonstrating ownership. This can fit somehow. It doesn't, the way the Gra takes it is, you're not allowed to do avoda, but it lacks kedusha shvius. Does it fit, Rav Sammy? I don't know. Yeah, think it over.
It's a rabbanon, you're saying.
Well, it's definitely a derabbanon. The whole thing is a derabbanon because there's no kedusha shnia yet. But what the Gra is saying, and I brought it here in source Chavav, he says the lo ne'echal v'lo ne'evad. He's not talking here about this land. The land that we say lo ne'echal, means it has to be b'kedushas shvius. So ne'echal means it's eaten even without kedushas shvius.
You're still the Nisar Avoda. It's interesting.
You're still Nisar Avoda. So you have to figure out how to do it. It's
like a kark on the perus, I guess.
Yeah. But that's the idea. Now, what would the Rosh say about the idea of Kedusha? Would the Rosh agree with the Gra on this point? In other words, Ramban said the only thing we're suspending is Biur, right? The way it's on my read of that Ramban. But what would the Rosh say? Would he agree with this as well? So the Pa'ad HaShulchan, who was a Talmud of the Gra, says, yeah, the Rosh also doesn't believe in Kedusha Shvius. But the Mishnah Lamelech is less sure. The Mishnah Lamelech says, After all, he says, the Rosh specifically mentioned Biur. He didn't mention Kedusha Shvius at all. So to tell me that he just ignored the fact that we're saying Kedusha Shvius doesn't apply in that land is a real reach. And Rabbi Yosef Efrati in Gvulot Haaretz LeShviit also thinks that the Rosh accepts Kedusha here, Midirabbanan. It's only the Biur that is being suspended. So this is why I wasn't sure whether to present it as two approaches or three approaches. But what we're saying is, in this land that was taken by the Jews who came out of Mitzrayim, but not Olei Bavel, there is no Kedusha Shnia. That doesn't exist. All you have is rabbinic. The Rambam's approach is, all the De'oraisas pertain, but Sfichin are okay. That's the Rambam. The Rash says that there's no biur. The Gra says not only is there no biur, but there's no kedusha shvius, and the Rosh might agree with that as well, at least according to the Pe'ad HaShulchan. Clear? Okay. I'm trying to come out of each section of this with something concrete. This isn't an Iyun Shir, but I want to make sure that we're just getting information. So that leaves us with the last area, and in some ways the most complicated. And those are the lands that the Olei Bavel deliberately did not touch. So if you take a look at source Chafches, the Gemara in Chagiga, this bizarre story of Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaskis. If I had known I would get to this at 11:13, I would have taken some time to discuss some of the weirder aspects of the story and put that on the sheet. But let's read it anyway. Meiser Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaskis, shahalach lahachtol p'nei Rabbi Elazar belud. Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaskis goes to greet his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar, in Lod. Amar lo, ma chidush hayu b'beis hamedrash hayom. What did they say that was new today? Amar le nimnu v'gamru, amon u'mav ma'asin meiser ani b'shvias. He says, you know what we said? Amon and Moav separate meiser ani during Shemitah. In other words, the laws of Shemitah apparently are not pertaining because we're tithing. And we've decided meiser ani. And this goes back, obviously, to the Mishnah and Yadayim that we talked about. So, Omer lo, Yossi, pshot yadecha v'kabel einecha. He says, Yossi, stick out your hands so you can catch your eyes. Pasha yada v'kibel einov, which he did, and he caught them. Bacha Rabbi Elazar v'Omer. Rabbi Elazar cried and said, Soda Hashem l'reyav v'brisolo hodiyam. I'm not even explaining any of this story. The Omer lo, lechem or lahem al tachushu l'minyanchem, he says, don't care what you voted on. Kach mekublani merab Yochanan ben Zakkai sheshama merabo verabo merabo hilchsa lemoshe misinai. Amon umov ma'asin meiser ani b'shvius. He says it has nothing to do with what you vote on. This is what it's been way, way back. They ma'asir meiser ani. They separate meiser ani and amon umov. Matam, why? Why is there no following of Shemitah? Why are they instituting meiser ani? There were many cities that were taken by the Jews coming out of Egypt, but not when they came back from Babel, Persia. they don't get Kedusha at that point. The original Kedusha has lapsed. Vehinichum, and they left them. Kidei sheyismichu aleihem aniyim b'shvias. So that the aniyim would be able to rely on those lands. And at that point, he davens for Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi's eyes go back to normal. So, leaving aside what happened with Rabbi Yossi's eyes, because it's a really good question, what does he mean when he says that they left those lands so that the Aniyim could depend on them in Shemitah? What does that sound like to you? For those who sweated over the Rambam, ignore that for a moment. Just reading the Gemara Pashut, what does it sound like?
Maaserani.
Maaserani, because that's where the story started. Right? The whole thing was about separating Maaserani. So they left those lands. They did not give them Kedusha. Therefore, Maaserani will be separated and will be available for the Aniyim. What is it Maaserani from? What are you separating Maaserani from?
The land.
Thank you. Maaserani, which produce?
Even Shvius.
Everything. There's no Shvius.
What I'm asking is, Maaserani from produce that you worked, or Maaserani from produce that grew wildly because you're not working it?
Probably that you worked. There were to me enough.
Yeah.
I would assume, like Rav Chaim says, and it's Maaserani from produce that you worked. Because you left the land, you didn't take it, therefore you're allowed to work it, and therefore you're able to separate Maaserani. The problem, of course, being that we already said land taken by Olei Mitzrayim and not Olei Bavel, you're not allowed to work. So what good is this going to do for you? But take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos in Source Chavtes. I brought him before, but I'm bringing him again. They left the places that were taken by Olei Mitzrayim and not Olei Bavel, kishahayu, as they were. They didn't exempt them from Truma and Meiser. So that Aniyim would be able to rely on them. Side note here, the Chazon Ish says, and I assume that Rav Chaim touched on this in the Chabura yesterday, it's just the cities that are left out, not the broader areas. And he also writes, we don't really know
city where... City and Tchum.
I'm sorry?
And their Tchum, like the 2,000 Amos surrounding.
Right, correct. But he says, we don't know where these are. I mean, you see that in Lamed, by the way, HaKrachim U'Tchuman. But he writes in Lamed Aleph, he says, we don't really know where they are. Roshol Yisraeli bolsters this in Eretz Chemda, based on the language of the Mishnah in Shvius, which only had three regions and not four regions. And it's also supported by the Rehov inscription, which Rav Chaim discussed yesterday. I linked the Wikipedia page for it in Source Lamed Beis, but it's not for right now. Interestingly, this decision of I'm not going to conquer that land is problematic. Like, what give you the right not to conquer that land? Don't we have a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? By what right did you decide not to do that? So the Netziv addresses this in his parish to the Sifri in Ekev Tezvav. And he says, the Olei Mitzrayim had an obligation to conquer everything. The Olei Bavel did not have any such obligation. He bases himself on the Yerushalmi in Shvius Perak Vav Halacha Aleph, where it says, the Pasuk says, Ve'itivcha v'hir b'cha me'avosecha, I will make you better and greater than your ancestors. Avosechem lo nischayvu el la'achar 14 shana. Your ancestors were only obligated in Shemitah 14 years after the conquest, after they entered, right? Sheva shekivshu, sheva shechilku, 7 years of taking the land and then 7 years of distributing it. The aval atem, but you, kevin shenichnasten nischayavtem, once you entered the land for the second Beis HaMikdash, everything began right away. And avoseichem lo nischayvu ad shah shekanu kula. Your ancestors were only obligated once they had done all those wars and that distribution of the land. You, atem, rishon kona mischayev. For you, the very first bit you take, you're chayev in. So what the Netziv says based on this is that the latter generation, this latter group, wasn't obligated to do a whole kibush haaretz, which I find very interesting. But what exactly was this benefit? Yes, for Sammy.
Isn't that a stretch? It just says they're chayiv right away. It doesn't say you don't have to conquer them.
Well, look in this. You're right. But look at the Netziv on the Sifri and see if that says anything more. But he's struggling here because we have a problem. You okay. made the decision. Made an executive decision. We're not doing Kibush Haaretz. They, what was the benefit for the Aniyim in these areas? So I had a whole discussion about Beit She'an when I gave Shir on this in the last Shemitah cycle, but I'm not going into that right now. The Rashi takes the view that what it means is people could work the lands and the paupers are going to benefit. It's in Source Lamed Dalet. Not just Maiserani, but also all the other things. Therefore, they enacted, same spirit, you should do Maiserani. The Mari Kurka says, I don't know what you're talking about. If it's Chutz La'aretz, then why are they getting Leket Shecha Upeya? To which he says, because maybe Midrabanan it applies there. Okay. That's one shita. That's Rashi's view of what happened. And then you look at the Rambam. And the Rambam writes, we saw it back in Source Chav Tes, the part that I bolded, V'lo patru mina truma v'ha maisros, they didn't exempt them from truma and maiser, k'dei sheyismuchu aleihem b'shvius, so that paupers could depend on them. So this creates a problem. He's saying they're obligated in truma and maiser even during Shemitah. The Rambam said, I pointed this out a few minutes ago, that lands conquered by Ole Mitzrayim are not allowed to be worked. So what true and Meiser are they getting? Number one. Number two, how does leaving Truma and Meiser in place help the Aniyim? Right? I mean, Meiser includes Meiser Ani, so fine. Truma is just for the Kohanim, maybe they're, you know, the Kohen Aniyim, fine. Mishneh Plasim Lechol Piton. What exactly is this? So the Mari Kurkus brings two approaches, which he rejects because they don't fit the Rambam's wording. And I brought it for you in Source Lamed Hay. He says, Ra'isi mi shekasav, rabbeinu lefarish kidei sheyismuchu besfichim. The point was for them to rely on sfichim, which are hefker. That's one approach that is offered. So it's not about them getting truma and meiser at all. It's about them getting hefker produce. And then Odev Shalomar, the middle of the second line in Lamed Hey, Lefi Derech Zed, Desmichas Aniyim, Hainu Sheyimtzu Lahaskir Atzma Lasas Betalush. It's that they could get themselves hired out to work with produce that had already been picked. If it had Kedusha, you wouldn't be allowed to do that, even with produce that was already picked, and now they have options. But he says, this doesn't fit. He says they could work in a non-Jews field. That's what some suggested. Mari Kurkus does not like this. And so he offers his own approach, which requires a different wording in the Rambam. But this is what he says. One note. Okay. This is what he says. If you take a look at Source Lamed Hey, he says, first of all, in explaining why he doesn't like the previous approaches. So fourth line down in Source Lamed Hey, the fifth word on the line. V'loshon Rabbeinu lo nichali b'hachi. He says, I don't like the language of the Rambam with these answers that the Aniyim are going to work with what's been uprooted already, or they'll get the Sfichin. He says, doesn't fit. Shekasav, because the Rambam wrote, v'hinichum kishahayu, they left them as they were. V'lo patrum min truma, ella, Kidei sheyismuchu aniyim b'shvius. They didn't exempt them from truma other than so that the aniyim could use them. Mashma desmichas aniyim hainu mipnei shein p'turim min hatruma. He says the aniyim, the ability of the paupers to use them, was specifically because they were exempt from truma. That has to be what it is. It's not about working with talush. It's not about svichin. It's about an exemption from truma that does it. What are you talking about? So read the part that I bolded, the last two lines there. Lakach nerali da'achi ke'amar. So here's what I think. Patru osam k'dei shekshayelchu shama aniyim b'shvias, shal yimtzu ba'artzam leket shichu peya, yitnu lehem deitzarcham. The aniyim need a place to go. Leaving the Shemitah fields open is all well and good, but it doesn't actually feed the needy. They don't have leket shichu peya because no one's been planting, so they're going to leave where they were and go to these places, and people will give them tzedakah. That's all. Shekevin shekol hashanim in p'turim in ha-maisros, lo yimnu milit en laniyim kol machzorim b'shvias, because for 6 years, nobody is actually paying taxes, right? This is a tax-free zone. No truma, no maiser. They're really wealthy, and by the time they hit Shemitah, they will say, you know what, if this is the price I have to pay for 6 years of not paying taxes, I'm willing to give tzedakah and support all the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael who are flooding in order to get supported. All by saying the word Ella, which of course, when you look back at source Chavtes, wasn't there. The Shinui Nuschaos in the Frankel Rambam is unsure whether the Mari Kurkus is actually changing the Girsa or is explaining the standard edition. But the if you look in the Venice edition from the mid-16th century, and kudos to Reb Chaim for digging it up and sending it around, he actually has the edition Upatrum Min Hatruma Vehamaisros, which supports the Mari Kurkus's read. Doesn't exist in other manuscripts that they noted there, but it does exist in that manuscript. So again, what we're claiming is that there is land that was set aside that was not taken by the Ole Bavel. And unlike the other land that was not taken by the Ole Bavel, this has special benefits for the needy because of the way they left it alone. What was available for the needy. So Rashi said, people are able to work there. And therefore, there's stuff that grows. And therefore, the aniyim have things they can get. And also, there's Maaser Ani. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says, and now we have a debate, what it was that the Rambam said, either that it was obligated and true and Maaser even during Shemitah, is one way to take the Rambam, which he said is problematic, because why are you working that land? Or alternatively, we said that it was that they were exempt from Truma Maaser all the time. That was another approach. Last question here. According to the Rambam in our text, these lands are no more lenient for Shemitah than other lands taken by Ole Mitzrayim, right? But according to Rashi, they are more lenient. How was this set aside land different from other land that the Jews did not settle in by Yesheni? So Tosfos, I only have 4 minutes left, but I think that's enough time. Tosfos in Chagiga in Source Lamed Vav asks this question. He says, we talk about these lands that you're saying have Maaser Ani separated in them. What about this whole thing about the land for beer, the questions that we asked before? I'm sorry, did I bring the Tosfos that I wanted? Yeah, oh, I see why. Never mind. I'll say it outside. Tosfos says that this is land that didn't have any Kedusha to begin with. And it feeds into those two points that we mentioned earlier that I reproduced here in Source Lamed Vav. Tosfos says the land that we're talking about is different from the other land taken by Ole Mitzrayim and not by Ole Bavel. This is land that never got Kedusha to begin with. Whether it's because it was land that was originally from Amon Umoav, and therefore it didn't get the Kedusha, right? That was Rabbeinu Tam's second answer. Or alternatively, this is Amon Umoav land that was not taken by Sichon and Og. But this is land that didn't have Kedusha in the first place. That's the land that we left out, and therefore it doesn't have the status of the other lands taken by Ole Mitzrayim and not by Ole Bavel. That's Tosus's answer. The Chazon Ish gives me a different approach. And the Chazon Ish says, this is what we call negative Kedusha. In the same way that when we talk about mitzvos needing kavana, so we say that there are mitzvos that need kavana, there are mitzvos for which kavana is not necessary, but negative kavana doesn't work. If you ate matzah saying, I am not fulfilling the mitzvah, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. That's the idea. So the Chazon Ish says, that's what's going on here. He says, Hinichu Krachim, the third line in Source Lamed Zayin, Hinichu Krachim Shematzu Litzara Takanas Aniyim Shlo Gazru Aleim Shvius Klal. This was stuff that they specifically did not create the land, that they didn't create the Gezerah for. They were deliberately leaving it out, and that is different from the other areas. That's the Chazon Ish's justification. So to sum up in a moment, what we said about the lands that the Ole Bava deliberately did not touch, we saw this in the Gemara Chagiga. It's also in Chulin Vav on the Beis Zayin Amud Aleph. It's also in Yevamos Tezayin. But it was brought that those areas were left for the Aniyim. The implication seemed to be they're getting Maaser Ani from the land that was worked. That fits with Rashi right there as the read. However, the Rambam gave us this perplexing read, meaning they were obligated in Trum and Meiser even during Shemitah. They left them as they were. We didn't understand how that's going to fit. And we gave the multiple answers. We gave multiple answers, but the simplest answer is to read his text as it says, that yes, these lands are obligated in Trum and Meiser even during Shemitah. Ah, but wait a minute. How are you going to understand the difference between this and the other lands? And the answer is either this is land that didn't have Kedusha in the first place, or yes, when we say Lo Ne'avad, it's not talking about these lands because of the intentional status conferred upon it when they entered. So thank you very much. And God willing, next week we talk boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. I wish everybody a...